Why can I say I am God? Why can I know that I am God when all about me I see evidence that there's so much more that I'm becoming aware of? If I were God, I would know all these things. If I were God, there'd never be any surprises. There'd never be anything coming up that I didn't know about. And yet, somehow, I have a deja vu about everything that I am surprised about, everything that I think I don't know about. I have a feeling inside of me, I've been there before, been there, done that. And in reality, I have been there and done that. I open my mind, my heart, my soul. I open all that I am to the inward awareness. And as I listen to the inward awareness, I am aware that I knew all this. It's not a surprise. It's not something that I didn't know. It's just that I hadn't thought about it. And yet, I even thought about it. When I work with my human limited point of view, I say to myself, there are limitations. And when I work with my divine point of view, then there are no limitations. In fact, there's no beginning and there's no end. There's only an eternal beingness. And this is my nature. This is why I can say I'm God, because I am this eternal beingness. I am this eternal allness. I am the expression of everything that is. And it's kind of exciting. It's kind of exciting to have things pop into my mind and I think to myself, where did that come from? Things pop into my awareness and I say, my goodness, that's exciting. I think of today, yesterday, tomorrow. I think of all right now. I think of experiences that I've had and I relive them as I think of them, and they're right now. I think of a dream or something that I might like to anticipate for tomorrow. And as I dream or anticipate it, I am experiencing it right now. So when it comes tomorrow, so to speak, I'm already aware of it. I'm already thinking about it. I'm already doing that which I thought I would do at another time. Living in the allness is quite an exciting adventure and something that I'm not really too in tune with, because I'm more in tune with the human. I'm more in tune with the human body, the human mind, the human activities. And because I'm more in tune with the human activities, I try to equate my spiritual awareness to the human. And in the spiritual awareness, I have no limits. In the human awareness, I have the limit of my ability to accept, to believe, to know about something. I can say I'm God because I have that ability to consider the allness, the infiniteness, to consider something far greater than what I'm now experiencing. Only if I were divine would I have the opportunity to think like that, to think beyond the framework that I presently live in. I can say I'm God, for I have the ultimate of imagination available to me. The ultimate of strange, wonderful, far-out imagination that boggles the mind and says it cannot be true. It just cannot be true. That is so strange, so way out. And yet, all of these strange and way out things are just a precursor for what is to follow, for what already is. It's not something that will be in the universe. It already is. I just got a glimpse of it. I got a glimpse of it as God, aware of the allness, for just a moment, perhaps just a second, just an instant. And in that awareness, I know that I am God. I know that I am the allness. I know that all that ever is, ever could be, I know now, and I can be aware of it. And I am aware of it. And when I tell myself or tell my world that I'm aware of something strange and wonderful, both myself and my world act incredulous about it and say, how can that be? How can that be? And I delight in sitting back in smiling repose and say, oh, that's natural. That's natural for a divine being. That's natural for God. That's natural for me as God. And then it is natural for me as God. Now, I look at my body and I say, what an interesting body. Why would God present itself in a body such as mine? Why would God present itself in a body that can be young or old, that can be sick or healthy, that can be wise or ignorant? Why would God, the infinite allness, present itself in such a form? Well, that certainly is a question that I don't have the answer for at the moment. What could the answer be? Why would the infinite allness of the universe present itself in a finite form? Ah, the answer is not so difficult after all. The answer is, the infinite allness is the allness, is both the finite and the infinite, but it expresses itself to finite creation in just a little bit at a time. The divine expresses itself to divine creation as the allness, and the divine creation expresses itself to the finite creation as a finite expression. So in other words, if I say I live in the now, and I do everything in the now, I am placing an absolute limit on the infinite. For the infinite is timeless, both nowless and timeless. The infinite has all time, has all nows, has all being wrapped up into one. And perhaps that's what I'm trying to say to myself by saying, I live in the now. I'm trying to say to myself that the allness wrapped up in the whatever it is that I am is demonstrating itself in the now. Can I conceive how the infinite creative cause, which is everywhere and everything and all that is, the allness, the isness, the whatever, can I describe that in a now form? No. now doesn't exist in the infinite, because the infinite is all being all the time. The infinite is being all in its infinity of nothingness and allness. And as I think about it, I think, my goodness, that's very grand. That's far more grand than anything I've ever thought about. And if I am this infinite, and I am this infinite, for there's nothing else but the infinite, then when will I step away from my limited attitude to my allness attitude? And if I step away, am I really stepping away, or am I merely being aware of my all-inclusiveness? I can say I am God, since there's nothing else but God, but how do I know there's nothing else but God? I only tell myself this because that's what I think. And where did I get the thought to think that there is the allness of God and there is that allness in me and in all that is? Well, these are the phrases, these are the conditions, these are the confusions that go through all of humanity. And they go through all of humanity because all of humanity likes to think that it is the ultimate right now. That nothing else can compare to it. Nothing else can be as grand as it is. And in thinking that nothing else can be as grand as it is, it closes the door on the vastness of yet uncharted territories, of the vastness of yet unthought of realms that exist in the allness. It's very boggling to think that there is a being, a divine being called God, that is all, that is everything that exists, that is it in itself but a thought. And it is the most complete, comprehensive thought that ever could be thought. And yet we, as a finite human being, can conceive of that thought. We can think of that thought and empower that thought and wonder about that thought. And we think to ourselves, what an interesting world we live in. For every time I try to stretch my mind, stretch my imagination, reach out into the infinity of infinity, I am aware that I have only begun to touch the infinity. I'm aware that there is so much more than I have ever even dreamed to dream about. And I love to do it. Now, there's no rush into this thing. There's no rush into knowing my divinity. There's no rush into being divine. There's no rush into knowing that I am God. There's no rush into knowing that as a human, I am aware and unaware. There's no rush to any of these things, for we live in the timelessness of all. And if we choose, we can think through thoughts again and again and again. And as we think through thoughts again and again and again, we are living that same adventure over and over again. We like to call that reincarnation, that we're living that adventure over and over again, hopefully, that we'll come to the conclusion of what the adventure is all about. And the conclusion that we ultimately would come to is that the adventure was about nothing. The adventure was just the adventure. It had no ulterior motive, no cause to it. There was no reason for it. It just was. Just like all things just are. Without any purpose, without any reason, without any comparison, without any working together on any type of thing. All just is. And all just is and is, which has no connection to anything else. We put a connection to things with our emotions, and we put a connection to things with our creation of the term time, because then as time goes by, relationships develop and change. And as time goes by, it has a space in which to go by. And yet, we live in the timelessness and the spacelessness of all. We can conceive that possibility, not to its ultimate realization, but we can conceive of that. And as I conceive of that, it's an adventure. It's an exciting adventure. But it has no beginning, it has no end. It's a never-ending story that as I live that adventure, it sort of folds into other adventures, totally irrelevant to the adventure that I was going through. And then I'm slipping into other adventures, and sometimes I come back to an earlier adventure. Only because I'm God can I do that. I can have this all in me, this awareness in me, this allness which God is in me, and become aware of it here, there. Once I become aware of all of it, then I am the allness of God, and the uniqueness, the individuality-ness, does not exist for me any longer. Because I am the allness, I am the isness. And these things have no uniqueness. And we think, well, surely the isness has a uniqueness because the is an is of something. Well, the is an is of something only in the allness. And if the is an isness of something only in the allness, then the is has no uniqueness in itself. It has only existence in the allness. And how could anything have existence in the allness and be a relative term? Well, it doesn't exist that way. We can talk about it, but in talking about it, we are talking about it, and we'll never know it. It's sort of a unique way to think about why I can say I'm God. Because the moment we try to think of God in relative terms, we are not thinking about God. The moment I try to think of a dog, and I am a horse, and I only know a horse, and I try to think of a dog, I cannot think of a dog. I only think of a horse. I only think of that which I am expressing myself as. So if I am the allness, if I'm God, and I'm thinking about humanness, then I'm not thinking about my godliness. I'm thinking about my relativeness. And when I think about my relativeness, then I think about me in limitation, in just a bunch of uniquenesses. And as I think of these uniquenesses, I am just sort of befuddled because it doesn't fit in with the allness. These are theological questions and questions that theologians have thought about and philosophers have thought about all of time. and none have come to any conclusion, for there's no conclusion to come to. If you think in the allness, there's no uniqueness. If you think in the uniqueness, there's no allness. Like the proverbial question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Or the question again, if a tree falls in the forest, is there any sound? Sound is a relative term. For sound to be sound, it must be heard, or else it's not sound. Sound, you say, can be heard by devices, by machines. Yes. And it is heard by them. But if there is no device, machine, or person to hear a sound, is the sound really made? And this is the same aspect of God. If we cannot see the allness of God, does God really exist as the allness? If we can only see the finiteness of God, is that the allness of God, the finiteness? This is what gives us a lot of difficulty. Gives me a lot of difficulty, because whenever I try to think about something as confusing as that, something as unfulfilling as that, I say to myself, why bother thinking that I am God? Why bother thinking I am God when just only confusion comes up? And then something changes inside of me. And I say, I'm happy. I am very, very happy. And if I am very, very happy, I must be happy about something. And if I'm not happy about something, then I must be the essence of happiness itself. Happiness which needs nothing to be happy about, it just is. And if that is the case, then I can conceive God. I can conceive the allness. When I let these things flow through me, which come from nowhere and go to nowhere, the thing of being happy, then I know I can say that I am God. When I let the feeling of joy or satisfaction come through me, it's not relative to anything. I can say, well, it's relative to that activity that took place. Well, it's not. Satisfaction is a condition that exists without any outer thing, without anything to make it happen. And what's another thing? Life. What is life? Does life need a body to exist? Is life spirit? Is life essence? Is life God? Is life the allness? How do I think about these things? How do I think about what is life? Life is a very intangible thing. Sometimes things have life in them, and then the life goes out of them, and we call them dead. We call them lifeless. And as I call something lifeless, I know, even as I call it lifeless, that it still has life in it. It still has every atom in it filled with life, vibrating with the power and joy of atomic life. I know it has energy in it, and that life is energy. Now, is God energy? Is that perhaps a definition of God? God is energy. Am I energy? Oh, yes. Yes, I am from head to toe energy. Is God energy? Oh, yes. God is the total energy of the universe. God is the energy that I am as a human being, and God is the energy that God is as the allness. And I am this energy. If I were to take one atom and slice it or open it, I would have enough power to illumine the world. And within each human being is atoms to the 10th power in the trillions, figures that go even beyond the trillions. These atoms are utterly amazing. As we said, there are cells, a million cells would be on the head of a pin. And every cell is made up of numerous atoms. Every cell is made up of many, many, many atoms. And when you begin to realize how many atoms there are in the human body needs nothing else to energize itself or to exist. It has sufficient energy in it to do anything it wants to do. It has sufficient energy in it to be immortal, to be eternal. The human body has sufficient energy in it to not need water, food, anything at all. The human body has sufficient energy in it that if I say to the human body, you are warm and cozy, even in a cold atmosphere, the human body will be warm and cozy. If I say that I am in the very sub-zero weather and I'm taking a short run, I will sweat just as though my body were in a warm, comfortable location. My body has the capability of being the allness of God, being the expression of the infinite right now, because that's what it is. What is it then that I must do to know about the allness of the universe, which my body is? I must recognize that it is so. And it's just a matter of recognizing that it is so. And when I recognize that it is so, then I act as though it is so, and then I experience it as being so. Would we ever be given, how would you say this, would we ever be God and be unable to know that we're God? Would we as God create ourselves as God, being unable to know ourselves as God? That seems rather strange if that were true. That we as God would create ourselves with no ability to recognize that we're God and recognize that we are God in all circumstances, under any activity, no matter what we're doing, we're God. So as God, as a human, should we want to fly, we fly. Should we want to teleport, we teleport. Should we want to do anything at all, we do it. But the reason we don't do it is we think that we can't. And then I ask the question, is there anything that God can not do? God can do anything. And if I am God, then I can do anything. If I am God and can do anything, then it's about time I start doing anything. and enjoying it and acting like it. And that happens in my world the minute I readily accept the fact that it is so. It doesn't take a lot of affirmations, doesn't take a lot of pleading and working on it. It's just a flash of intuition, a flash of imagination, a flash of awareness that says, that's what I am. And once I know who and what I am, then I act like who and what I am. And I go out and I express who and what I am. We have bodies so that we can move around in our universe, so we can have that ability to move. Now, do we need the bodies to move? Certainly not. We in our thought move constantly. We in our thought are visiting the past, present, and future. We in our thought are everywhere, omniscient. We are totally enjoying ourselves everywhere. But we say we like to come back to our home base, wherever our body is kept. And as long as we want to keep coming back to our home base, then we'll never have the freedom and be aware of the freedom that the body has in being itself. I can say I am God, for I feel good about it. I feel in my heart that it's a wonderful, satisfying experience to say that I'm God. I feel that it's something so rewarding and something so uplifting. It's just right. It's just good. Now I ask myself, what's next? What's next in being aware that I am God? What's next in being aware that I am the allness, the isness? What's next? Well, I say to myself, I have thoughts, and my thoughts are my creation, and my creation are my thoughts. And so, as I think a thought of another person, for instance, I create that other person in my image and my likeness. But I create that person in my image and my likeness at the moment that I create the other person. Now, I might have an attitude about myself that's limiting, and then I'll create that in that person. I might have an attitude about myself that's unlimiting, that it's the genius essence of the universe, and I'll create that person like that. Now, that person can be a child or an adult, and that person can be anything we want. We create people in our world. You say, well, they've been somewhere else before that. That's of no consequence to us. We create at the moment. And what we create, what I create, is always good and very good. And if I create it and it is not enjoying all that I think it could be enjoying, then I just instantly speak my word and say, you're enjoying all that you would like to enjoy, all that you are. Now, only as God can I do that. Can I create like that? As a scientist, I try to create in the laboratory and bring things forth. But I bring things forth only according to my limited understanding. If I were to reach into my infinite awareness, I would just speak my word and say, it is done. And there would be the fulfillment of any laboratory experiment that I wish to do. And it would be fully provable, it would be fully done, it would be available in mass quantities for anyone who would want to participate in it. I have that ability as God. I use a portion of that ability as God, as I do various things, but I don't have to. As God, I can use all of it. As God, I can speak out and bring forth anything that's in my heart. I can bring forth any concept, any idea, any consideration that's in my heart, and it's done. You say, well, God has a heart? Yes and no. Heart, according to human terminology, that's a limited idea. That could be emotion, or it could be the physical heart that beats. When I think of God, I think it is done. It is complete. It is whole. It's the all. When I think of man, I think of man as the developing awareness, not yet whole, not yet all. How can I, as God, think of something not yet whole and not yet all, when I, as God, am whole and all, and anything that I would think about has to be a reflection of me? Because anything I think of is my creation. It is my revelation. Everything already exists. Now think about it. If I am saying I am God, I tell myself, if I am saying I am God, how can I ever think limitation? Well, in the broadness of my understanding, I now realize that there is no limitation. I think of things at a point, and at that point they are an is, and they are perfectly okay. And as an is, they are acceptable and delightful and charming. As an is, they are what they are. There is nothing more, nothing less. They are what they are. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, what do I want them to be? What do I want things to be in my universe, in my world? Do I want them to be an is, or do I want them to be the total of all? Everything grouped together is one. Well, everything is grouped together as one, and that can never be changed. But I can create illusions of separation. I can create illusions of ideas and concepts not knowing that they are the allness. I can create that illusion. And in creating that illusion, what I'm doing, I am creating separateness. And that's okay. That's perfectly okay. That's not true. There is no separateness. Everything is all one. Everything is all together. There's nothing separate. But I can say it, and I can say whatever I want. And the illusion that I create by these words that I say do not make it a reality. And you say, well, everything is real. Everything is a reality. Yes, everything is a reality, and the ability to have illusions is a reality, and the ability to have not illusions is also a reality. When we try to be logical in thinking why we can say we're God, we'll fall down all the time. And the reason that we fall down all the time is that God is neither logical or reasonable. And no matter what sort of reason, no matter what sort of proofs we give ourselves, no matter how we might think so deeply, soundly, and strongly about it, God is neither reasonable nor logical. God needs nothing. God is everything. And God is everything in the universe, and we are in the universe, so therefore we are God. Are we the illusion of God, or are we the reality of God? If we say we're the reality of God, then we will act exactly like we think God should act. Because if we are the reality of God, then we are able to say we act exactly like God acts. And yet, so many people act differently. Do they have the same conviction that I have? Or are they having a different conviction? What sort of attitudes do they have why they can say, I am God? What sort of attitudes do they have that say why they can say they are God? This is a telling point in my experience and my awareness of being God. When I sit back and don't try to understand what being God's all about, and just be God, then I'm in a state of bliss. I'm in a state of peace. And when I'm out there trying to understand who and what I am, then I'm in a state of confusion. And the state of confusion goes on and on and on, continuously, until I stop all of my probing and all of my wondering and just let go and be. Let go and be myself and have fun. Let go and be myself and do all the things that delight my heart. Let go and be that which I am now and forevermore. Let go and be it. And then, as I do that, what happens? As I do that, the feeling within me is so grand, so wonderful, so fulfilling, that I could never dream or think of it any other way. I grow into the awareness of who I am. I grow into the understanding of who I am. And I find that it's an exciting adventure. It's an exciting activity for me to be in. And I love it with all my heart and all my soul. I can say I'm God because I feel good saying it. And I don't have to have any other reason for saying that I am God. And so it is.